This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne.
Hello again. It is episode 9 of season 6, or this is, I should say, not it is, this is. I don't know what I'm saying, Lakrita.
What can we say?
What can we say? This is also...
We need revived.
We need revived. Amen. It is episode 59 overall, if you're keeping count. Tonight, we're going to be talking about revive equals new health. And everybody is looking for new health. So, and I like the word revive. When I think of revive, I think of Lazarus being coming out of the tomb. He's been revived. He's been brought back to life. So where would you like to start with this one?
I think just we can go back to a little bit about what I was saying in episode 8 about, you know, repair and mend. I think that, you know, when you go back and unstitch and open up the wound, it gives you a chance to truly look at the wound and see the infection in it. So you can really be revived and really become alive again. And, you know, the Bible talks about that I just don't want you to prosper, but I want you to be in good health.
To thrive, I think is the word.
That's right. He really wants us to thrive. And so some of the stories, some of my life over these last 30 years, I've had to literally birth away from surviving and birth thriving and reviving again. And reviving for me has been to restore to awareness as well. You know what I mean? It's about, and I'm going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit in this podcast a little bit, but maybe did you have any questions or anything that you wanted, you know, from the last podcast that you might want to, you know, elaborate on? Or,
you know, thoughts? Some of it we kind of just touched on about feeling your emotions and walking through those, but it was more about my main question I was thinking of, you know, we were talking about pushing down your emotions and how they come back. Mm-hmm. And you were saying when you were 23, you were just kind of processing and you were going and you weren't thinking. Well, you're a thinker anyway. You're not a super feeler overall, but you do have emotions and you do feel.
Yes.
I mean, so did that ever catch up to you at some point in time where, like, you were just confronted with, wow, I had lost 3 babies. It was so hard giving birth to my child.
Yes, it did. Let me tell you what happened. When I was granted the opportunity to have a vision with this ministry, having the courage to change, I really took it on as a personal restoration. Every woman that came into the ministry was my child.
Mm.
And so it came back through that. And when I would eventually, it ended up in a moment in time that the Lord had to show me through some counseling that the reason that I was so controlling to the women in the setting and the structure is because I wanted them to live.
Wow.
Because they had become...
Wow.
This new opportunity for me that I finally was able to feel and understand how important life was. And so those 3 other children I had lost that I didn't connect, I had replaced them with the ministry, the work of the ministry.
Mm.
And so those women became my children. They became unconsciously my children. And so I would do anything and everything, hold on to them tight, make sure, you know, everything that needed to be done, they became that piece of emotion. And it was in some counseling, again, on the floor, in a fetal position, pushing out that they didn't belong to me, that they belonged to God, and that I was not responsible for them. And even the children I lost, I wasn't responsible for them, that what happened to me was responsible. And so I needed to exchange and birth out and let go of that pain. So, yeah, it caught up.
Mm. Yeah, it was the first thing I was thinking is, like how you process that eventually when it did come back. Because yeah, I was reading a book a couple days ago, The Search for Significance, and it was talking about how the brain just has thoughts. The emotions are their own thing. And while the brain will process what is going on, it assumes that the emotions will be dealt with in the way that those systems are supposed to deal with it. So the brain thinks it's buried and done, but the emotions are saying, nope, it's not. So it will keep coming up and keep coming up and will manifest in all these weird ways.
So mine manifested by the way that God gave me the vision of having the courage to change. I began to be a minister, you know, ministering to these wounded women. And so they became my children.
Wow, that is just such a profound thing for me right now when I'm just thinking about that. Like,
And so I wasn't willing to lose any of them.
Right. It totally makes even more sense.
I would do all kind of, as you look back at the ministry now, I would do all kind of, you know, things to control them and to keep them safe and, you know, oh my God. And, you know, and they were fighting against me when I was just trying to really keep them safe. And so for me, they were the children I had lost, and I refused to lose another.
You were trying to reparent them, so to speak.
Exactly.
But also they were compensation, if you will. Mm-hmm. You probably didn't think about them that way.
I didn't. But no, it was when I went through a healing process that the Lord showed me. It was a situation that happened. And it probably was, I had been in ministry or had the program that probably about 10 years. And it was when that revelation came in a counseling session and a situation had happened, and I just couldn't understand why this person could not see their potential and everything I had done for them and everything, you know, and I was willing to, you know, sacrifice so much. And the Lord showed me that's because you were overcompensating with them because of the loss of the three children you had.
Wow.
And so, But you need to know that even those children lost, or those children's death, had nothing to do with you.
Right.
It had everything to do with what happened to you. You know what I mean? And so then he began to show me that I'm only one mother to one child. And I have a son, that these are not my children. Even if the ministry's intent and the purpose of it is to give them a safe space to revive themselves, come out of survival to reviving and thriving, we are still not their actual parents. We are just giving them a safe place and a safe space to begin to redevelop and go back into some of the pain in order to become the person they were intended to be.
Wow.
And so then it helped me take off the responsibility of the outcome. Again, this whole podcast is about outcomes.
Right.
And so resetting outcomes. So I no longer was responsible for the outcome. I was more responsible for the input.
Yeah, God is responsible for the
outcome.
Yep. Well, I'm still trying to get my brain around that. It was your maternal instinct that created having the courage to change. Mm-hmm. Like, literally. If you distilled it down, you were reparenting, or you were parenting the children that you lost.
Exactly. I was creating a space to become a parent.
Yeah, be a mom.
To be a mom, exactly.
Wow. That just
makes
so much sense.
Yeah, and now just looking back at it, realizing that we still are helping them redevelop the opportunities, but we are not actually their parents.
Right.
God is their parents, and we are kind of their surrogate parents. For him, we assist him with their lives.
And you have healthy boundaries, though, when it comes to them, where you probably didn't have that early on.
Oh, definitely not. Well, let me tell you the first thing, you know, people, you know, they say great things about it now, that me and Charles would take five unrelated women struggling from crack cocaine and all kind of, you know, and I would bring them into a house with a husband, five related women that probably didn't have no scruples at times, and they didn't. You know what I mean? And bring them into my house, into our house and our home with a male. He's the only male. that was no boundary for real. You know, yeah. It had good intentions, but it really was not a good boundary. Then we lived there, and then everything was so, you know, it was just really like me and Charles are the parents, and we're good, you know. So when you look back at it, it just, right, it was none. And then finally we moved out, and, you know, we began, and then next thing you know, City Gospel Mission came and, you know, changed the whole trajectory of the format of how it was, and we wasn't living there. And then years came by again, and then that's when I kind of was able to see, wow, I have become the parent. You know, I'm nurturing and mothering these women as though they are the children I have lost. Mm. And wow. I refuse to lose one.
Wow. You know, even though I know it was not, you didn't have, or there weren't good boundaries in place at that point, what a beautiful legacy for the children you lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I know you've been talking a lot about legacy lately, and it's the 25th year anniversary for having the courage to change. Mm-hmm. So you could have a 25-year-old child, basically.
Yeah, I do. Well,
well, you do.
No, I do. Having the courage to change is my 25-year-old child.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I'm just, you know, realizing that I'm not the outcome. Right. I'm the inputter.
Right. And so you're kind of resetting, or you have at some point reset the thought process exactly. on the outcome on that, which is really good. But I did want to mention, I was going to mention this in the last podcast too, that you have, as part of the whole 25th anniversary, the history of working and having the courage to change, the work you're doing in the city, we broke ground just this past week on a new facility to bring in yet more children, if you will.
More women.
Well, and I don't
who
mean
have
that,
childlike behaviors, well, and we're going to help them revive right. to new health.
Well, right. And I don't mean that in like a derogatory way towards them, more of in a
real healthy way.
Correct.
Yeah. And I do get to have the opportunity before yeah. I felt I had to.
Yeah.
Because I was making up for something. But this time, I get the opportunity to be an example of what some of the things that they may have not been able to experience. So we're building a home from ground up, yeah. a $6 million home. It's not just one, it's a big building. It's a 15,000 square feet building. But I have found Kingdom investors, and I have raised the money and continue to will be raising the money, because I don't just see this one building that will be where the women will come, but then there's another part of this whole project that I see a community of people, you know, where they get to live in a community that's safe, and it's a community and not, you know, just thrown away in the background, but actually a community of neighbors who may not have experience, because it's diversity and equality and inclusion and those kind of things. And I wanted to fight really, I had to fight very hard and through some difficult times to make sure we got to stay in the neighborhood that we originally started in, because it's now an upcoming neighborhood where people are buying new homes and building new homes. And of course, not in my backyard, the NIMBY statement, you know, not in my backyard. You do, you know, you were fine with the three houses you already have, but I dare you come build some more and then make this a whole neighborhood. But I love what one of the neighbors said. If I wanted to be in suburban neighborhoods, I just would have stayed in suburban. But I came to the urban neighborhood realizing I was looking for diversity and inclusion and differences, and I wanted to wrap my arms. One person actually built a house right next to our home, knowing us and knowing who we were, because they wanted to be inclusive and they wanted diversity.
Yeah.
And so,
good neighbors.
Yeah, good neighbors. And so it's just, now getting to do this, it's an honor that I get to be an example. I get to be the opportunity of someone seeing my life and they desire to have what I may have come to the knowledge of, because reviving also means to restore to awareness and consciousness. So I have come to a place where I'm aware, like I'm able to tell you immediately when you ask, have I ever, you know, with the pain of the children. Yes, this is where it came, because I'm so aware of it now and I'm so conscious, so I will continue to set the healthy boundaries. And now I'm so aware and conscious that I want to build a team to also understand those things. And I really believe that the best way to be an example to someone else is to always be willing to do self-examinations. And, you know, if we do breast examinations and go get pap smears and go get all those other things to stay in health, right, to go get all the tests that we do, I think we have to also be willing to look at our soul and look at ourselves and see the areas that it still needs to be revived and thriving versus surviving and just being. You know what I mean? Because there are times that we don't realize we're acting out in survival techniques. And when God wants us to thrive and be revived, he wants to breathe on us again and give us new breath and give us new life. That is the desire of his heart for us. He wants to restore us back to our original selves.
Yeah, that's everything that the resurrection of Jesus was. When he came back from the dead, that whole work that he accomplished was restoring the original, it is good, as God pronounced over creation when he made it. It is good, it is good. It is very good, is what he said over man. And so, yeah, the resurrection was doing that very thing, was helping us be restored to new life in a way that he originally intended.
Exactly, and that's why I say it's new health, because to be healthy, you have to be willing to look at the areas that you're unhealthy, you know, and be able to be consciously aware of them
and
know
brave.
It and be brave enough to be authentic enough and to be vulnerable enough and be sympathetic even with yourself and to be empathetic with yourself and not be so hard on yourself, you know, to really say, you know, I need new health in this area. I need to be, you know, in a greater way, whether it's in your physical, whether it is in your emotion, whether it is in your relationships, your education, whether it is in your spirit, whether it is in your, you know, social life. I have come to the conclusion that I've worked on so many pieces of me. I know how to have fun. Don't get me wrong. There's a part of me that's becoming aware of that I like being by myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I like not coming out of the house and keeping my pajamas on. Even though I would probably, we know that extroverts and introverts are not necessarily about what, you know, it's not necessarily that people give me, you know, but it's like, I realize being an introvert or extrovert
it's, or an ambivert is what
ambivert.
You are.
Exactly.
Yeah, right in the middle.
I'm right in the middle.
Yep.
And so therefore, it's like I get good energy on, you know, presenting myself when I'm presenting myself, but I get even as much energy by myself, with myself.
Yep.
I like myself. I was in the tub today, this morning, and I put my head up under the water, and it was just so still. There was no negative thoughts. There was no positive thoughts. It just was, right? Wasn't anything running through my head. I just had my head up under the water and for about, I counted to like 3 minutes. And it just for those 3 minutes, it was just that moment. And I just realized how rejuvenating and reviving and exciting that is for me, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Totally does.
And so I realized that also reviving and new health means new strength. You know what I mean? It's new life. It's life anew again. It's really just having life anew and just being able to see things from a different perspective and different perceptions and different ways and not always looking at it from a judging moment. You know what I mean? But to truly look at it from the opposite of judging, which is openness. And so what if, you know, like I'm going to talk about, you know, like with everything in reviving, people always think you need to have the right conditions, right? in order to live the best life. But I think that you can take what you have and find a way to revive it and be in good health and let your soul prosper as well. I just believe that. I don't think that there's no right circumstance. You know, I was talking to my friend, not going to mention a name, but was talking to her, and she called me the other day, and if she listens to this, she'll know who I'm talking to without calling her name. But the reality of it is that she was saying something that was so insightful. When I got off the phone with her, I just sat there and pondered what it would have been like for someone to left me an inheritance financially. You know what I mean? That they worked for and they earned, but at a certain age, they were leaving me an inheritance because I was at a certain age, they gave me part, and then another part that they gave me, you know. And some people are, you know, get that, and they don't know how blessed they are. When people like myself, who have had to work hard in these last 30 years, you know, I would be, you know, I'm just saying I'm 62, so I'm going to go with 31. You know, I've had 31 years over there, 31, you know, so in this middle ground. But I am getting an inheritance. My inheritance is peace and joy and insight and wisdom. And I am getting that. You know what I mean? And I, you know, what I do every day for a opportunity is productivity. It's not work for me. It is my passion. It is my purpose. When I wake up and I look at the sun and we have this new, I have this new thing I do now, you know, I say, you know, it's the sun by day and the moon by night. But when I wake up and I see the sun, I realize I have another opportunity to get up, make my bed, brush my teeth, wash my face, and start my day. And I can just keep building off of those things every single day. And I get the joy of the Lord, who is my strength, that I feel like I look at myself in the mirror, I just love me. Like, I love me. I am beautiful. I love me. And I get to look at myself in the mirror and say to me every day, hey, girl, I love you.
That's right.
You are beautiful. You are flawless. And I realize it's not an external thing I'm talking about. It's the internal work that I've done and that I keep doing and that I will continue to do until the day of Jesus Christ, that I meet him face to face, until I lay down and sleep forever, until he arises me again. You know what I mean? That I will leave this world. And I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of death naturally because I die every day. I sacrifice and makes, you know, I die daily. You know, Paul talks about it. You know, I don't have to be afraid of the end because I live my days fully. And every day I lay down at night, who says I'm going to wake up? So right. There's nothing that I didn't do that day that I didn't feel like I needed to do. And whatever didn't get done wasn't meant for me to do. And I always talk about, I say this a lot when I say to people, you know, I'll say, well, if it be the Lord's will, you know, and I mean that. James says it, you know, we talk about doing it this way. And he said, but if it be the Lord's will, then I'll get to. But if it's not, then I won't. And that means that I've done everything I'm supposed to. So I have been revived and put in new health, and I have been restored, and I have new strength and new energy. Every day I look at myself and I don't look like I'm 60 something, and I don't feel like I am. I just thank God that it feels like I think about Benjamin Button. I think the older that I'm getting, the younger that I'm feeling, you know, but I know that, you know, I tell people it don't matter how much I look at and feel it, my body will tell me at times, oh, you 60, girl. Don't you act like. I was working out today. I do this workout now that I run up and down my steps for 10 minutes. And trust me, I can tell by the third minute, my body is saying, but that's when you push yourself even more to get to the end of the reviving and the new health, that you don't stop because it's painful. You just keep getting up. And you just keep doing it.
That it's like the song, we fall down, we get up, we fall down, we get up.
Yeah.
And the saints are just the sinners who fall down and get up.
Yeah. We just keep getting up.
Yep.
And then it says, you know, a just man falls seven times, but he gets back up. He gets back up. And so it doesn't matter. You know, I see people talk about different things in their lives. And I just encourage us all today that remember to, in order for you to reach to a place of revival and thriving and new health, you just get up. Just try it today. Get up today. Do something different. Or do what you know is best for you. We know, I say people say this all the time, in the dark, in the corner, when nobody's watching and it's just us, we know what we ought to be doing. So I encourage us to start reviving. Revive yourself. Thrive. And go to new health.
Amen. Amen. All right. You've heard the challenge. Get out there and revive.
Hi, guys. Every week we get the honor of spending time with you, sharing our hearts, and offering insights into all the ways we get turned around as people, and hopefully showing an escape route to better choices. Another place that is offering the same type of path for better opportunities is City Gospel Mission. Since 1924, they've been a beacon of hope to the homeless, those recovering from life-controlling issues, youth, and to those needing job services. If you'd like to volunteer or donate, you can visit www.citygospelmission.org. That is www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lakrita Bowman.